The peace talks in Doha are just one of several reasons the Trump administration pays attention to Qatar. Another is Qatar's strategic location on a peninsula that juts out into the Gulf that separates Saudi Arabia from Iran. The country is also home to America's largest air base in the Middle East. 11,000 U.S. troops there, all ready for action anywhere in the region. One big problem, though. America's other friends in the Gulf, Saudi Arabia and the UAE, see Qatar as an outlaw, even an enemy. And as the Trump administration builds up its military presence in the region to counter Iran, this regional spat among neighbors complicates things. Elizabeth Dickinson understands the situation well. She's a senior analyst for the Arabian Peninsula at the International Crisis Group and joins us from the United Arab Emirates. Why did the Emir of Qatar come to Washington? Let's start there, Elizabeth.
Well, I think it's part of an accelerating relationship that we've seen between Qatar and the United States, particularly since Qatar's neighbors broke off relations in 2017. So one of the unintended sort of consequences of that blockade is that it really forced Qatar to double down on its relationship with the U.S.
Last year, when the Saudi Crown Prince was in Washington, the talk was all about trade. Same thing with the Emir of Qatar. Are Gulf leaders cozying up to President Trump by reminding him about their money?
Well, I think Qatar has made a very concerted effort to remind the president how important the relationship is to the U.S. So some of the headlines from this visit, for example, are Qatar's building of a surveillance plane in South Carolina that's creating a number of jobs. Qatar Airlines purchasing U.S.-made aircraft, creating hundreds of thousands of jobs. So these sorts of headlines about the U.S. economy, I think, play quite well with the administration. And the Gulf states have certainly picked up on that and are using it to their advantage.
The Saudis and the Emiratis are not terribly fond of Qatar. Why do they dislike Qatar?
Yeah, so I think this dispute really, we can take it back to the Arab Spring and the very different reactions that the Qataris and the Saudis and the Emiratis had to the uprisings. I think Qatar, particularly through its media network, Al Jazeera, was very supportive of the uprisings and particularly the sort of Muslim Brotherhood currents of some of the political forces that emerged after those uprisings. By contrast, the Saudi Arabia and the UAE, I think, really saw it as a threat to the region's stability and really a concern for their own stability as well. They saw this tide of sort of Islamist influence sweeping across the region, very much backed by Qatar and Turkey. They found themselves on opposite sides of the conflicts that emerged in Libya, in Syria, in Egypt, across the board. They just have very different visions of what sort of region they'd like to see, and that basically blew up in 2017 when they ended up breaking ties with Qatar.
Yeah, so that was a little over 2 years ago. Qatar was actually punished by the Saudis with a blockade. What happened there, and are the feelings still sore today?
I would say, if anything, the feelings have gotten more entrenched. I think the Qataris have found that the boycott, blockade, however you want to call it, has really played to their advantage in many ways. I think on the Saudi-UAE side, they continue to see all of the things that caused alarm for them 2 years ago have, if anything, only accelerated since then.
And why is this a problem for the United States?
Well, this is a problem for the United States because it's really just sort of a headache. They would like to see the Gulf countries work together on their priority, which is countering Iran's influence in the region. And I guess the U.S. sees it as really a distraction to have the Gulf countries at odds with one another.
So if the Saudis still have friction with Qatar, does that make Qatar an ally of Iran? And what does that mean for U.S. policy?
Well, I think something that has happened after the blockade is immediately afterwards, Qatar had to rewrite the book about how it got its goods. So this is a small island. It's a desert country. Something like 80 or 90% of all of its food and commercial goods are sort of imported. So most of those goods used to come through the other Gulf countries. And when they blockaded Qatar, they had to come up with another way to get all these products on their shelves. And one of the ways that they found was Iran. So Iran has supplied produce to the country. The other very clear commercial relationship that's developed is through Qatar Airways. One of the things that the Saudis and the UAE and Bahrain did is they blockaded the airspace, which means that every Qatar Airways flight going in and out of Doha has to fly over Iran. So I think by default, Qatar has been forced to create a deeper relationship with Iran than they had before. In terms of their political positioning, I see Qatar being very cautious about Iran and the role that it plays in the region. However, the way that they deal with that threat is different than the way that the Saudis and the Emiratis do. The Qataris have to engage. They have basically no other choice.
Elizabeth Dickinson, senior analyst at the International Crisis Group, speaking with us from Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates. Elizabeth, thank you very much. It was great to speak with you.
pleasure. Thank you.